And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Uniden America Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. Welcome and good morning. Hi, thanks for being here.
Hello.
You know, I'm sitting here reading, Eric, that John Stewart says Biden should not be president. Why are we allowing this? That's from John Stewart. Why are we allowing this? You know why they're allowing it? Because based on where the Democrats stand on the issues today, he is the Democrats. He's the best the Democrats can do.
There's really no way around that. Look at the polls. You and I were going back and forth on this in the top of the hour. Inevitably, the left loves to push up. You know, I mean, they did it in 2020. It was then Governor Cuomo of New York. Remember, and like he was on standby. Like it's a tag team thing, and he was just going to step in. And then they kind of did it with Newsom, and the polls hit on Newsom, and, man, that didn't go well.
What the?
So who would it be?
Right, but why? Because we both know that image-wise, just the image of the person himself, the Pat Riley haircut from the 80s, but the fact is he looks young. He talks clearly. Well, why isn't Newsom up there? Because, as I said, Biden, based on where the Democrats stand on the issues, Biden is actually their best candidate. Newsom can't win, and Newsom's numbers are lower than Biden and even Kamala Harris in the polling against Trump because he represents California. And that's why. And based on where they're so radical on the issues that the best candidate is Uncle Leo. From Seinfeld.
This is as good as it gets for them.
Basically, Biden is the Uncle Leo excuse, Uncle Leo's excuse for shoplifting. I'm an old man. I don't know what I'm doing. So there it was the other day, and I'm watching television, and I'm just scanning through, and there it is. All of a sudden, I see the outlaw Josie Wales is on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so immediately, you got to stop just for a minute to see where it is in the movie, right?
Of course.
It's the outlaw Josie Wales. You got it. Everybody in agreement there?
Yeah.
And it was where Uncle Leo from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I can't think of the actors. Lesser is his name. I can't think of Len Lesser, is it?
Hmm.
the late actor. Mm. And there he's I got me the Jersey Whales. So got the gun and they.
I love that. I love watching an old movie again, and then an actor that's become relevant much later.
Yeah,
that you kind of forgot was in the movie, and then they come back around, and it's like, oh, that makes to me. That sometimes makes watching it all over again worth it. Just that part of it.
I got me the Josie Wales.
Yeah.
and he's sitting, he's holding that rifle, and you look at him, you go, that's a creepy looking guy. That's what I thought when I first saw that movie back in the 70s.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, no idea that Uncle Leo was the same guy. Years later, going, man, he's really a creepy character. This guy's a creepy character. And all of a sudden you realize years later, oh, my God, it's the same guy?
Well, no, his face was always a bit creepy in Seinfeld for me, and it comes from the outlaw Josie Wales. He just kind of had that, you know, kind of squirrely look on his face. You know, his mouth, his eyes just looked weird, you know. Great casting for that, you know, for that part.
When Uncle Leo was in prison, remember?
Yeah.
On his fingers. Hello, Jerry. But getting back to the topic at hand, sometimes we have to do some sidebars here for you know, popular culture references.
Right.
But when I saw John Stewart, why are we allowing this? He's talking about the Democrats, because based on where the Democrats are on the issues, which is insane. Having an uncle the shoplifting Uncle Leo, who was faking it, you know, where am I? What's going on? But even remember when he asked, when Seinfeld asked his mother, she goes, "Oh no, we steal batteries. We just, you know, say we're just old people and we don't know what's really going on." And seriously, they're so insane in the issues that the best representative for the Democrats is someone that the public perceives as a old man who doesn't have any cognitive abilities left.
Yeah, right.
That's actually the best candidate, because you just go, well, you know, it's just Joe and he really doesn't know what's going on. And so you accept it more, where you can't accept it from somebody who is younger. So I dare say that based on where the Democrats stand on the issues, that Joe Biden is actually their best candidate.
Well, tell us.
That's why they allow it.
To John Stewart, tell us who would be better. Who should be the person running? I'm sure someone like Stewart's going to have, you know, I don't know, someone that nobody is thinking of. You know what I mean? But where's the calling by the left, you know, promoting someone else? Again, they kind of went down that road with Newsom. That didn't go well. And who would it be now? Where's the talk, by the way?
No.
I haven't seen any talk lately. I have to try and remember the last time I heard it or saw it, of someone saying, oh, Biden's not going to be the guy. He's not the nominee. It'll be somebody different. He's not going to be the guy. He's not going to be the guy. I haven't seen much of that. It's Biden. As of today, it's Biden. I don't think that's going to change. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at Motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6, and help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
But I could sit there because I cannot think of a Democrat. And if I could, because this isn't partisan. I right now I have my presidential political hat on, you know, or vice presidential political hat. If I'm a political consultant, who do the Democrats have? I don't know.
I don't know who that
is. But if you ask me who the Republicans have as up and coming leaders, I can give you a list just off the top of my head. I'll go with Byron Donalds. I'll go with Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with DeSantis was going to be in there. I'll even put in somebody like a Marco Rubio, who mm-hmm. may not be perceived as conservative as the Republicans would want, but probably against a Biden would get very wide support in a presidential election.
Yeah,
and he's still right. A name considered for vice president, and so you can sit there, and that's just four off the top of my head, and I probably could give you more if I just sat there and said, okay, give me a list of all the Republicans, Republicans out there.
Yeah,
and so, I'm just looking here. I'm looking at a list to see what is. Tim Scott.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I he didn't run a good campaign. But I think he would have he's somebody who was viewed, but why are they all viewed that way? Because they're all moderates. Because the Republican platform, it's like Trump, as we always said on the issues, Trump is a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit there and you can look at it and go, these people are all moderates. You know, but when you look at whatever comes out of the mouth of Newsom, he represents what the people across the country view as what they don't want to be, which is California.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, on the campaigns that were run during the primary, I agree with you, Tim Scott. Look, one of the problems was I was in Iowa staying in a hotel. Tim Scott was having an event in that hotel that night. I was in that hotel that night and wasn't aware of it. That was part of the problem. I know that you work ahead of time, and I wasn't there in that town ahead of time to see the promoting of that and everything else. But the point is that you're operating inside of a really big wake that Trump leaves. And as soon as he entered the race officially and said he was running, then the clock was ticking for everybody else. Now, the hope was that, I don't know, that he would drop out. I don't know what the hope was by those other campaigns in the primary. But the problem is that you have to come around. This is why you see DeSantis working with Trump now, is that in 28, if you plan to run again, or whenever that might be, is that, you know, Trump, if he wins now, if he doesn't win, he's still going to have an impact on who's going to be the nominee for years to come. As long as he's around, his endorsement will mean big, big things for people because of his base. And there was, you see it. I mean, Nikki Haley, look, that was on her. A lot of that stuff was on her. Tim Scott could have run a better campaign. What Tim Scott believes really didn't change. It was more logistics, I think, from my perception of it. It was more logistics than it was anything else. And it also was the timing, knowing that mm-hmm. Donald Trump was going to be involved.
No,
so
you can make the case for Nikki. Not that I want Nikki Haley, but we're talking about candidates. When you look and say, okay, John Stewart's saying, how do we, the Democratic Party, allow this to happen?
Yeah.
And it's like, because where you stand on the issues, he's the best guy.
Right.
Nikki Haley, if she was running against, let's say hypothetically, she was running against Trump, or sort of running against Trump, she was running against Biden, she'd win.
I think so. Yeah.
Now we had to take.
The poll showed that right. She had a growing number of independents. You know.
Right.
And so.
But if you look at the leadership group coming out, Wesley Hunt of Texas, only a congressman, but I don't think it matters anymore running for president or vice president. It used to be if you were a senator, you had more of a high profile. Mm-hmm. I think all that's been thrown out the window here.
Yeah.
I was going to say Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor of Virginia, but she was born in Jamaica, so she can't.
Yeah,
she can't be prepped. But she's. Right. I saw her the other day again. She's just dynamite.
No, she's great.
And
she's
think
great.
About it though. But of the people that we brought up, of like the seven or eight, six are women, or minorities, or a woman minority. But the woman minority, she can't run.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's you know, wasn't born in the United States.
Right, right.
But other than that, you have five on the list that are black,
and
that are up-and-coming leaders in the Republican Party that the public overall would accept over any Democrat candidate right now.
And that doesn't even get to our wish list, which you and I really don't engage in. You know, we know that a lot of people throw that out there. But, you know, you think about Condi Rice. We know she's not going to run. We know she's likely never going to run.
Right.
But, again, you come up with these names on the left, thinking about it, okay, who would appeal? Who has at least a bit of a name?
Stacey Abrams?
How is it not a radical that tops the list every time, right? I mean, people, and we, you know, we put her in that category because she said identity politics is working. We need to do more of it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. It, by the way, we were on it years ago with Newsom. That didn't work out because the Democrats, you look at the polling. I can't tell you why I can tell you why he pulls low with us, but it's that went from zero to nowhere. I mean, it just didn't out of the gate on its face. I don't know who that person is. I don't know who it is.
You know, and somebody might say, okay, you look at Adam Schiff, who probably win the Senate in. That he would be a leader for the no, he's too radical.
He's way too radical.
He can win in this. He can win in a clearly Democrat state. He doesn't have that broad appeal, and he would be. You know, everyone knows who doesn't know that he didn't lie about Trump consistently in Russia collusion. But the fact is, he's radical. He can only win in a state like California.
I think that's why his party's okay with that. Going look, as long as he's out in California. You know, he's not doing further. They know the damage that he did. I don't know how much they care, but politically, you kind of have to care
right.
because you don't need him to be a pariah. You don't need to carve him out completely, but you kind of push him out to the Senate race in California. They're fine with that, but on the national scale, in the big room, no,
yeah.
I don't think so.
3 years ago, you could have said Manchin.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, before the Biden presidency, but he's got some of the lowest numbers of anybody in the Senate because he was wishy-washy both ways, and you can't be wishy-washy both ways.
Right.
But you don't have to be wishy-washy if you're just a Republican who wants to enforce moderate legislation and politics. That even Trump is there because it's not radical to want to protect the border. That didn't become radical until a couple of years ago when the Democrats all jumped ship and said, open borders.
Right.
And then it's like, well, you know, open borders is a reasonable. No, it's not.
Nope. I would love to hear from John Stewart, his list. Give me five, John. On the left, which Democrats? Tell us. Give us a list. Who would that be? You got to start promoting people. I mean, if you want them to be the future of the party, Biden's going to be the nominee this time. But who's that going to be?
Trying to see in the article if it says here. No, I don't see
I didn't see anywhere yeah, where he promoted anywhere. Anyone.
Where you promoted anyone.
We gave you a list.
Bill Maher.
Right. They start naming celebrities every time, right? Oprah.
Oprah.
Yeah, people who aren't active in politics. Yeah.
Michelle Obama. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Active weather in parts of the country this past week.
From April 30th through May 3rd, we saw at least 10 tornadoes each day in that four-day period. A little bit of a break on May 4th and 5th with a single tornado reported those 2 days. And then May 6th, we saw another estimated 17 tornadoes based on very early reports.
With USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey noting since April 25th, and as of Monday, there have been 12 consecutive days with at least one tornado reported in the nation, and over 200 total in that time frame. The active weather trend is expected to continue this week, but with a shift in location. The Mid-South and Lower Midwest Wednesday, and on Thursday and beyond, the East Coast and Deep South. He adds a late week to weekend weather pattern shift could bring a temporary halt to this stretch of active climatic conditions. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, I still hear Eric, you know, see it on social media that, well, no, they're still going to replace Biden. They're still going to replace Biden.
Yeah.
So if you buy into that, you know, that could happen, then you must wonder whether inside the campaign they're going, look, we need one last chance. Let's put Kamala Harris out there. The economic opportunity tour she's going to do to promote Bidenomics and how great it's been. And if she succeeds, maybe, just maybe, Biden can step down and Kamala Harris can run for president.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a coherent thought. It may
well,
be a
but
delusional
it might be,
thought.
But it might be.
Yeah, might
going
be happening
on, yeah.
inside.
And analyzing the insanity. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, nightly on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, two things. First off, we had mentioned Gavin Newsom, and Gavin Newsom was, it was all over social media. The Democrats were promoting it. See, California is coming back. See, tourism record levels. You see that story yesterday or it was the day before.
Right.
And it was like tourism. People are coming back. California's not dying. California's booming. See, tourism.
Right.
Well, then you got people like the ones that can write about anything at National Review. Because that may not be the biggest story to fact check Newsom on tourism in Canada. Or in Canada. The CA, okay.
Yeah.
They're not too far away from each other. In fact, when California was going to secede, we did suggest, I think, or maybe they did, Canada.
Yeah.
Didn't they suggest Canada?
Yeah, Canada rejected them.
Whatever happened then? Weren't they going to split, like, California into, like, six states or seven states or something?
I think it kept growing in the number of states. Bakersfield was like, whoa.
But National Review, where they can write about whatever they want, said, somebody said, James Lynch, let's fact check this.
Okay.
California Governor Gavin Newsom's claim of record high tourism spending in the Golden State does not hold up after being adjusted for inflation.
Okay.
Newsom triumphantly announced from San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge on Sunday that California's tourism spending reached $150.4 billion last year, a new all-time record, according to a newly released report by Dean Runyon and Associates.
Hmm.
He was out there smiling about it. He said, from our world-renowned coastline to the world's tallest trees to our iconic cities and theme parks, California is the nation's coming attraction. Visitors from all over the world are coming here to experience the wonder of the Golden State, boosting our economy and creating good-paying jobs for years to come. He was joined by all the, you know, the CEOs of Visit California and everybody else with the whole economic impact. However, the study itself explains how California's inflation direct travel spending is down 14% from its 2019 peak.
Oy.
Adjusted for inflation. By the way, this is actually in the report, which, of course, they didn't promote this part. This was in the report. Adjusted for inflation, spending, travel spending in 2023 was down 14% from the peak in 2019. However, another indicator to measure relative recovery is travel-generated employment. Reads a disclaimer on page 13 of the report. The discrepancy was first reported by the Center Square on Monday. National Review has reached out to Newsom's office for comment. People can try to undermine California's success all they want, but the fact is tourists keep visiting the fifth largest economy on the planet Earth because all of our state has to offer, and the data supports that. Travel-generated employment is 98% of what it was in 2019, the report notes. By the way, we all know California is always going to have tourism. It's a beautiful state.
Oh, no, my wife and I have traveled there a number of times.
Yeah, they are always going to have a level of tourism.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a given.
South Lake Tahoe and that area, you get into the Sierra Nevadas and, you know, I mean, my gosh, back in the day, the Bay Area, I don't know how much that has changed. I'd be interested to see that. But the Bay Area used to be very nice to go and visit. But, you know, much has changed since, well, in recent years. But, yeah, it's beautiful.
Travel-generated employment is 98% of what it was in 2019, the report notes. Without adjusting for inflation, California experienced a 3% increase in travel-related tax revenues and a 13.1% increase in earnings for the travel industry. Since 2019, California has seen inflation levels of approximately 19%. Last year, California's population declined by over 75,000 people as residents continue to seek greener pastures elsewhere. Due to the state's high cost of living, California's tourism sector suffered major economic woes during the state's prolonged coronavirus-induced lockdowns. Newsom defied his state's stringent coronavirus mitigation guidelines in November of 2020 when he and a group of lobbyists dined at an upscale Napa Valley restaurant. The health of California's economy will likely be a major talking point for Newsom moving forward on his as his national profile continues to grow and speculation mounts about his future presidential ambitions. So, you know, that's the point. When you take inflation into it, you really can't make the claim that he was making. But California is always going to have one of the, you know, I don't care what happens, because visiting a place is one thing.
Living
in a place. And California is always going to have, I believe, great tourism.
I would stay away from the university campuses for now. But
yeah.
I was thinking San Diego, another place that I've been to a number of times. It's so gorgeous there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know of any place that I've been to California where it wasn't beautiful. And whether I was there on business or not. But it was, you know, that's always going to be a draw. The question is, where's the investment? I mean, tourism is definitely revenue. But long-term investment by businesses, long-term investment by residents, you know, wanting to build homes and everything else and or being able to keep your home. The cost of living there is astronomical. And the policies have gotten even beyond the cost of government. It's gotten all the way to the point of, all right, how do we keep our employees safe with the aforementioned Bay Area, with drugstores and others that were saying, you know, look, it doesn't make any sense. If you're not going to, enforce the laws here, our customers don't feel safe. We're losing money. Our employees don't feel safe. It doesn't make sense to stay here. And the people of California have to decide to change that.
Right. Now, the cost of living is going to, affect, and it's going to continue to affect, because California does not seem to have any interest in lowering the costs.
Nope.
For the citizens of their state.
Nope.
So it's going to continue to cost, and I think people are either, do you get into that circle of doom where people can't get out and then become more dependent on state services, and therefore, you know, you get into that circle of financial doom where you can't get out of it, you know, and it's like, okay, more government spending because poverty keeps going up. As you keep saying that we're going to solve poverty by taxing people more, yet all of your policies create inflation where more people are into poverty,
yeah,
you can get into that cycle of financial doom. And I know, you know, you and I talked about Civil War study that was out there. Here it is, right in front of me. A stunning new poll released by Rasmussen Reports found that over 40% of Americans believe the United States is on the brink of another civil war, with 41% of likely voters thinking it's on the horizon and 16% believing it's very likely to occur in the next 5 years. The survey of 1,105 voters revealed a stark partisan divide, with 37% of voters believing a civil war is more likely if Joe Biden is reelected, compared to 25% who think it's more likely under Donald Trump. Donald Trump, the great unifier.
Yeah.
Additionally, 54% of Republican voters are concerned about the prospect of a civil war by 2029. The poll found that women, younger adults, and non-white Americans are more likely to believe a civil war could erupt within 5 years. That's women, younger adults, non-white Americans. This comes as support for secession is growing in some states. 36% of people in Alaska, 31% of Texans, 29% of Californians. Californians. Sorry, I was doing my Arnold there. Good God, Californians. Californian. How does he say it?
Californians.
Yeah. And 28% of New Yorkers want to leave the USA, according to a YouGov survey. We're not going to have a civil war. What we're going to have, probably, we're going to have more unrest. The tribalism will continue.
Yeah.
I do believe you're going to see blue states that just won't change. They're going to have a lot of problems. You and I have talked about, you know, what the futurists see, you know, when they talk about Texas having 100 million people in 75 years. Dallas-Fort Worth, that's now 8 million. When I got here, it was a little over 5. Now it's over 8.
Yeah.
Think about how, and I'll be 24 years here officially a week from now.
Mm-hmm.
A week from now. 3 million people. Think about that. 3 million people just in this metro area.
Yeah.
Has
right.
grown.
Right.
That's unbelievable
right.
when you think about it.
Yeah.
And but there's a reason for it. You're not going to see that growth rate in those states. There's going to be competition between states. Eventually, they're going to have to be forced to be more capitalist. But I think you're going to see a greater divide in states than you've ever seen before, because there are some states used to compete against each other. California has no interest in competing against Texas. California has no interest in competing against Florida. California has no interest in competing against anyone except making life harder for its own citizens and making it harder for business to succeed. You're not going to be able to be viable long term. Democrats always talk about sustainability. You can't sustain an economy through socialism. It's never worked in the history of mankind. And it doesn't matter whether you're in the United States. It doesn't matter whether your label is California. If you put in bad economics, if you believe that you can control economics, you're doomed.
Yeah, we're at this point now, too, where you look at it and the report in the news yesterday with the financial media was We're at an all-time high for debt, for personal debt, and at an all-time low for personal savings. You and I have been talking about this, how this dynamic was coming together. We've been talking about this for about 18 months. And the banks started talking about it. Chase's Jamie Dimon was talking about it at the end of 22 and said, you know, by the end of summer 23, we're going to start seeing those savings that built up during the COVID years really start being depleted. And now we're well into 24. That's the case. And personal debt is on the rise. So what does that tell you? But the point of you've maxed out your personal debt and then you're still underwater, you start looking for more government services. As you mentioned, like in California, if you're stuck in a in that kind of cycle and you're not able to move, you're in a, you know, whatever situation you're in, and you're going to rely more on state government services. And now we're at the point of, you know, nationally, where I think that's going to be part of the biggest threat. The spending is coming in, and one of the key elements that they look at, one of the indicators they look at is restaurant spending. And restaurant spending is down. And it's down fairly dramatically because people are having to make that choice. Because once you've, again, maxed out those credit lines, you're barely keeping up with that. And then those payments become delinquent, loan payments become delinquent, and everything else. And you're still not above water. We're not seeing an expansion of the economy. We're seeing this over and over again where prices continue to rise and the spending power continues to go down on the things we have to buy, core inflation items right now, and it's not good. And the spending is going to increase once again.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, you look at that, the Civil War poll that was done, whether people believe, you know, more people believe that Civil War could happen in the United States. Mm. I think part of that, as we stated before, is because of what's going on with Trump right now, a two-tier system of justice. People look at it. You've probably seen the term banana republic used more now than I have covering politics for over 40 years.
Yeah.
And so that's what people look at. They go, okay, our institutions are failing us. Our government is causing the problems, not solving problems. And that's why we said the Republicans, they still haven't done it yet to my satisfaction. I'll see it here and there. But Republicans need to come out and promote the fact that Democrats and the president cannot and won't solve the problems because they created the problems. This is the way they wish the country to be. And when people see that, when they realize their government is causing the problem, and then they see the two-tier system of justice and rogue judges and rogue prosecutors, that's why they're thinking it's all falling apart.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together,
It's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.